talking with the experts.
In episode 575, learn how to prepare your business for a planned exit with Pete Moore. Discover strategies for maximising value and avoiding unplanned collapses.
We buy insurance on our house. We do all these different things to protect our investments, whether it's a stock portfolio or whether, you know, all these different things. Yet one of the most valuable things for almost every business owner outside of their house is their business. Yet they're not doing what they need to do to protect the value in the business. You wouldn't let your roof just go leaky and start to, you know, come in and everything in your house flood. Yet when your business has issues, we're not looking at that in a proactive way in order to protect the value and increase the value of the business along the way, because it's usually, if not the most important thing in the business owner's portfolio, or most valuable thing in the business owner's portfolio, it's darn sure one of them.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com.au. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And today my guest is Pete Moore, and he's coming to us all the way from Canada. And we're going to be discussing, is your business exit ready? Now, Pete helps business owners transform their frustrations into freedoms using a variety of frameworks that cut through the chaos and overwhelm of running a business. With over 30 years as a business owner, he's refined his tips, tools, and techniques in the trenches with his own businesses in service and retail. Helping leaders transform from operators to owners is his primary focus, and he's a certified exit planner and Colby coach. Pete uses proven methodologies to create turnkey businesses, allowing owners to live the life they deserve. It's time to start using frameworks that enable you to achieve true business freedom. Welcome, Pete, and thank you for joining me on Talking with the Experts.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Rose. It's a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to our conversation with both you and the listeners.
Wonderful. Now tell me a little bit about your background, Pete.
He said in the intro, you know, 30 years. And it goes quickly, Rose. It really does. Looking back to 1994, when I started, I bought a franchise. I was young. I was 23. You know, my first business, my first real business, because I'd had startup businesses and little sort of summer businesses all through high school and university and stuff like that. But my first real business, I bought a bathroom renovation company, and it was a franchise. And the gentleman that now owns it called me in September, and he said, Pete, you owned the business for 15 years. I've owned the business for 15 years. It just celebrated 30 years, and it served us both well. And, you know, looking back, it's been an interesting ride. I mean, that was my first sort of real business where I had to everything on the line and getting in there and doing all that stuff and dealing with a franchisor that wasn't that great. And they went bankrupt twice as that franchise happened to be new and all that sort of stuff. We defranchised the business. And obviously it's still going. We changed the name and defranchised it all. At the same time, I had bought another franchise business, which was a cleaning company. It was suffering, and it only had 30 clients. We grew it to 300, and we sold it. So I bought and sold both of those businesses, grew them and built them. I was a business broker helping people buy and sell businesses, which is how I found one of the businesses that we currently own called Shoetopia. We own some shoe stores here in Canada. And that was in 2010. And so for 14 years, we've been shoe store owners, but part of what I do with the business side of coaching is that it's my belief, as you said, that we, you know, at a certain point, it's time to move from operator of your business to owner of your business, and wouldn't really be here having this conversation today if I didn't have a great team, great process, great systems in place that basically my shoe store business runs without me. And that's what I'm trying to coach and work with other business owners a lot of times, is to get their business so in a state that is ready to basically let the owner do what they want to do. And when we hopped on, Rose, I said, you know, it's been a long day for me today as we're recording here at my nighttime. And, you know, even in a long day where I've had all sorts of client meetings and really good, interesting stuff, meeting people, networking at a certain thing, going to meet new clients, doing a little bit of shoe work today and everything, having conversations with you, I still feel energized. I still feel excited about what I do. And when work doesn't feel like work, that's when you know things are going well.
Absolutely. Now, getting into, you know, are we exit ready? You know, what most businesses are, you know, too busy to strategize about their exit, and they're leaving value on the table. So what is the difference between a planned and an unplanned exit?
Well, you know, Rose, it's an interesting thing. About 50%, that's 50% of businesses exit in unplanned fashion. And it's really unfortunate. You know, 50% of the people out there say, okay, I want to retire, or I want to sell my business so that I can go on and do something else. Great. But the other 50%, and most of the people listening to this podcast today are business owners, are involved in business management and all that kind of stuff. And business people tend to hang out with other business people. It's just one of those things. So you probably know someone who has passed away prematurely. Maybe they got cancer. Maybe there was a car accident. You know, I had my neighbor five doors down the road. They ran a construction company, and his excavator flipped over and he passed away suddenly. He was the principal of the business. I mean, things happen, and, you know, whether it's death, whether it's divorce, which is another big one that causes early exits for people that, oh, I'll never get divorced, until 2 years later when you're divorced and you're saying, oh my God, I'm going to have to do something with the business because I have to settle this. Maybe it's disagreements. Are you in a partnership with someone? Just like divorce, not all partnerships are made to last. In fact, one day that partnership will dissolve, no matter what, it will. Disability, like we talked about, you know, that person that was unfortunate six or seven doors down the road from me a couple of years back, maybe that excavator tipped over and he was just out of commission for 6 months. And if you're out of commission for 6 months, and I'm asking you, the listener, would your business survive? Do you have the things in place set up so that it can be run with you out of your business? And if it isn't, your business isn't exit ready. And the last one is sort of the idea around things that you can't control. Let's say COVID, for example, that we, most of us, experienced a few years ago, and still some lingering effects on certain businesses, paying back and all this other stuff that goes on. But there are things that are outside of your control that do happen and do come to, you know, whether it's a downturn in the economy or something as drastic as COVID, whatever the case is, that can affect your business. And are you prepared for that? So these are the reasons. And you probably know somebody that this has happened to that's caused dramatic problems within their business. One of these things: distress, divorce, you know, disagreements, partnership disagreements, those kind of things that really, you can plan and have your business set up in a really good way. And I'm not saying it's not going to be painful, and I'm not saying it's not going to be hard, but at the same time, we buy insurance on our house. We do all these different things to protect our investments, whether it's a stock portfolio or whether, you know, all these different things. Yet one of the most valuable things for almost every business owner outside of their house is their business. yet they're not doing what they need to do to protect the value in the business. You wouldn't let your roof just go leaky and start to, you know, come in and everything in your house flood. Yet when your business has issues, we're not looking at that in a proactive way in order to protect the value and increase the value of the business along the way. Because it's usually, if not the most important thing in the business owner's portfolio, or most valuable thing in the business owner's portfolio, it's darn sure one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, early planning is really vital to any business owner. You know, you should plan your exit strategy, I believe, right from the time you start your business, because, you know, you're right, you know, unforeseen circumstances arise and, you know, the family will be left wondering, you know, what am I going to do with this business? You know, who's going to get this and how do I sell it? And what do I do? And, you know, if you have all these things in place and written down somewhere for, you know, family members or whoever takes over from you, you know, it makes their life a lot easier. And it gives that business owner peace of mind to know that, you know, if they can no longer run their business for whatever reason, that it everything will be taken care of.
You know, it also gives the leadership team confidence. Mm. Because once you have an exit plan, you share it with your leadership team and you say, hey, if something does happen to me, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Because now we know, we have confidence that things are looked after because, you know, you're off traveling and you're doing this and you're doing that. And it's like, not that we worry about this every day, but it's come across the, you know, that what would happen if the business owner passed away, or what would happen if this, you know, husband and wife team, let's say, or partner team wasn't in a good partnership position anymore. Like, what happens to me? I'm reliant upon this job too, you know? So it really adds confidence in the whole business when you kind of lay this sort of thing out, and gives great confidence in the potential of a new business owner. Because, you know, as a former business broker, and somebody who helps people kind of get ready for due diligence and some of that kind of stuff, you know, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. But one of them is that you know, people always talk about, well, what's my multiple? What's my multiple and all this kind of stuff. But I can tell you, your multiple is virtually zero if you don't have things set up in the right way.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, most of us have a will. I mean, so, you know, why not have a written down exit strategy to, as you say, share with, you know, other team members and family, friends and whoever that will be affected by the closing of the business for whatever reason.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't matter. The people that I work with, they're not always 1 year away from wanting to retire or exit their business. Most of the time, they're a lot more than that, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. But they're just starting to begin these talks and these processes. The one I had earlier today, sat down with a family business. Dad is 72 and has been, you know, full on since he was 16 in the family business. It's a 186-year-old business. And 5 kids, one currently working in the business. All of them have been in and out over the years, but it's time. Like, and he knows he hasn't done the work. And he's like, we need to do this. And it's like, yeah, you do. So these kind of conversations, the family transition stuff. And, you know, we also talked, I've got 2 boys that live, you know, 5-hour flight away from me in Calgary, in Canada here. And I'm in Ontario. And I've got another one that lives in Australia, who's 24 hours away down, you know, closer to you, but still far away on the Gold Coast. And, you know, they aren't coming back to run our businesses, you know, and if things happen, they aren't going to be the ones to run it. So, I mean, we have to be real about some of these things, but we also have to lay them out so that we're not burdening the people that we love with the things that they would have to do if we weren't able to do them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I 100% agree with that. And I think, you know, it doesn't, and it doesn't really matter what type of business you own, whether it's a service business or it's a bricks and mortar business.
Doesn't
you know,
matter.
it's so vital that we have these exit plans in place. Now, Pete, I'd like to ask you about the four types of capital that can add the most value to a business. You know, what might they be?
Well, of course, in my opinion, the one of the main ones is human capital. And it's one of the ones that we deal with a lot, right? Do you have your intellectual capital set up? Like even at Shoetopia, our shoe businesses, we have Shoetopia trademarked. Are your items, your logos, the things that you have for intellectual property properly looked after, right? Human capital is such a big one. So when we look at all of this, are your things in order with your team? Is it clear? When we look at our customer base, do we have contracts in place for those that have contracts? Can you prove recurring revenue with these particular clients? Because I'll tell you, one of the things that people really like to buy is recurring revenue. It gives them great confidence in their investment. I'm going to drop $1 million on your business, and I'm not sure who the customers are. You don't have any, you know, I still see this kind of stuff where people are like, well, I don't get their emails, or I don't get, you know, I don't have their information. It's like, well, you know, we need to build the database with our customer base so that we can, not only for our own use, but for the potential value of the business if you ever do sell it, because that's what people want to see. They want to see the process, which is the systems, right? The systems and the process. What is that? Is it clearly outlined? Is it shown so that everyone can follow the system in order to hone your process, in order to deliver your services to your ideal customer through your ideal teammates with your ideal suppliers that help deliver your promise, so that you can generate the right amount of profit? And when they buy the business, they can generate it too. If you can show this as part of your due diligence and as part of all of the things you're doing to become exit ready, those capitals come into line and everybody's going, oh, I really like this. Now I'm seeing my multiple go from, I don't have any customer information, I don't really have any contracts with anybody. You know, I my biggest supplier is my best friend. All these kind of things. It's like, well, if you leave, what am I getting? So we want to start honing this, right? We want to start aligning and assigning accountability to other people, not just the owner. I call it the hub and spoke side of things. And if you are the hub and spoke of everything in your business, you do all the hiring, you do most of the selling of all the major clients, you do most of the buying for any of the things that you need to do, the relationships are yours, and you're the one leaving and you want to get prime dollar?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Readily, because, you know, and as business owners, you know, we are so prone to keeping everything in our head and not writing our processes and procedures down, so that if something were to happen to us, we have a sick day, or, you know, we go on holiday, that the business can still run in a consistent manner, you know, based on how we would want it to be running. And yeah, so it's so important to have these processes in place and that everyone knows what these processes are. So they have to be written down somewhere. And same as if you sell the business, you know, the new business owner can then, you know, keep the business running the way it was originally set out to be run.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I recently wrote a small book called The Business Owner Breakthrough, and it outlines a model that I created called the 5 P's. And the 5 P's, and I'm not going to go through it because it's another whole thing, but just to give it an outline, because it's really how you set your business up too, right? And the idea is understand your promise. And that's not your mission and vision. Mission and vision are internally facing. The promise is what you're shouting out to your customers saying, this is how I can help you through your problems, right? So it's how are you taking your customer from their pain to their gain? That's the promise. And I'll give you it in shoe language, for example. At Shoetopia, we want to help customers look great and feel fantastic. That's our promise. When you come in the doors at Shoetopia, we're going to help you look great and feel fantastic. everything we do is around look great and feel fantastic. So we want to align. So that's the promise. We want to align our product to that so that we can deliver that. We want to align our process, and process is another whole episode. We want to align our people, and I've already talked about the people. It's your ideal client, your ideal teammate, and your ideal outsourced supplier that's helping deliver your promise. And once you have the alignment there, now we're going to get the profit, and the profit's what's going to bring you the freedom. And the profit's also one of the drivers, the key drivers in creating value in your business, right? A lot of business owners, small business owners in particular, are always saying, we need to drive the revenue. We need to drive the revenue. Well, you do need to drive the revenue, but more importantly, you need to drive the profit, because we could do $10 million and still be minus $4,000 or $4 million on that $10 million, right? What is really important is how much profit is there, more so than how much revenue.
Yeah. I remember when we had a small business some years ago, and, you know, we're trying to sell the business, and, you know, it's so important to have a profit and loss statement to show your prospective buyers, because, you know, that they want to know how the business is going. You can tell them, oh yeah, business is going great, but unless you have something tangible to show them, they're not going to believe you. And, you know, and they won't know if the price that you're selling the business for is actually aligned with, you know, how much the business is bringing in.
And I mean, that's one of the things I do when I'm working with clients. It's like, we need to clarify that. We need to dig down into the profit and loss. We need to dig down into the balance sheet. We need to recast the earnings. We need to recast the balance sheets, because, you know, a lot of small business owners are trying to minimize their profit because they don't have to pay tax. But at the same time, if you think, even if you think, oh, when we talk about multiples, if I'm going to get two multiples of profit, but our profit's zero because I don't want to pay any tax, 2 times 0 is 0.
Absolutely.
That sounds so good.
Absolutely.
So we have to know what's been put into the business that isn't necessary. So we retract that from the other statements that we're going to show to a new buyer. I'll use an example. If you in Australia wanted to come to New York City to a trade show to buy whatever it is, or go to whatever your trade show conference was in New York City, you're paying your trip over and all that stuff through your business. And maybe you stay in North America for another couple of weeks and you write that off in your business. That might be a $20,000 expense. Well, if that wasn't a truly necessary expense to your business and it was more of a wish for the business owner, the new business owner would need to know that, because that $20,000 would be there captured for them to use in a different way. And if you got 2 times, that would be $40,000 more to you. Or if you got 7 times, that's $140,000 more to you. And if you can't prove that, you're going to lose out on that value at the time of transfer. How important is it to have clear, concise books and be able to respond to any question and due diligence around them? It's vitally important. And most small business owners don't have that as good as they need to. And so that's one of the pieces.
So important. Yeah, it's no good telling lies or making or fabricating truth, because you'll get found out in the end anyway. I mean, when we purchased the business originally, we didn't take out the paperwork to an accountant. We were new. We didn't know anything about running a business when we bought into it. And, you know, that was one of our major mistakes, is because he sold the business for far more than what it was worth. It was what we bought it for was worth to him, but it wasn't the true value on the profit and loss statements. And, you know, that is a mistake that I know that not only we made, but I know a lot of other business owners make. They buy off the paperwork without doing their due diligence and, you know, checking to make sure that the figures that are being portrayed in the P&L are the actual true figures of the business.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, that's part of what I work with business owners is saying, and you know what, it's better to hear it from me than it is from the buyer when you're in the middle of negotiation. I had a conversation with a lady that has a pet store, And she has been running that pet store for 25 years, successful. You know, they have, I don't know, seven or eight groomers and, you know, do a good retail business and stuff. But when I got looking at it, you know, she's doing a decent amount of money and has been there a long time and has a legacy in the community, all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, she wasn't making a lot of profit in that business and hadn't for many, many years. And she was doing it out of a labor of love. And she felt she, you know, she had an idea of what she wanted in the business. And I had to tell her that she probably wasn't going to get that based on what was there. And she's like, but I've been here 25 years. The new owner doesn't care. The new owner's looking at this like they would at any other investment. Would you pay $1.5 million for an $800,000 house? No. Because you could go buy another $800,000 house next door or around the corner for $800,000. It's a bad investment. And most small business owners are so attached to their business, they think it's worth a whole lot more than it actually is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But here's the problem, Rose. If you've been working in your business for 25 years, like this lady had, and getting closer to retirement, because not everybody's exiting just because of retirement. They're exiting for a variety of different reasons, but this lady was. And she had this number in her mind that was part of her retirement that she was like counting on to help her live through her retirement years. And she's finding this out a year before she wants to retire. That's a problem.
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely is. You know, it's you've got to just be wary. It's buyer beware, but make sure that you check all the figures first, not just the P&L, but also the balance sheet and everything that goes along with it. And, you know, just do all your checks and make sure everything balances out in the end, because you'll get stung.
Yeah, one of the things that we do to start people off really is that we put them through, it's called Value Builder Assessment, and it goes through sort of eight key strategic areas around their business and what they're really doing well and what they need some improvement on. And we also put in some numbers in there, and it gives them a range of value. And sometimes that range of value, you know, can even be shocking in a good way or a bad way. And it's like, really? My business is worth this? I thought it was worth this. My friend at the golf course sold his for this amount of money. Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with your business, you know, but we make these associations, you know, and these are the things that a lot of small businesses are going through. And when it's your biggest value, why you wouldn't let a stock or your house or anything, you know, fall off like this. But I don't know why. It just seems to be an issue where so many small business owners, first of all, they don't know the value of their business or even the range of value of their business. They have no idea. And they don't know how to protect it. And they don't necessarily know how to grow it. They're always thinking about growing revenue. But the revenue isn't always the way to increase the value.
That's correct. Absolutely correct. Now, you can find Peter on Facebook at Simplifying Entrepreneurship. He's on LinkedIn as Pete, P-E-T-E, Mohr, M-O-H-R. And he's got a website, it's simplifyingentrepreneurship.com. Pete, if you were to give some advice or, you know, some tidbit of value to our, other than what you've offered today, because it's absolutely been terrific, additional value perhaps to our customers, to our viewers and listeners, what would that be?
If you have never had a valuation for your business and you are sort of thinking about, and you know, a proper valuation is fairly costly, but we can do a range of value for you relatively inexpensively, in fact, quite free. Happy to do that for you. And all you need to do is go over to another one of my websites, which is theexitreadybusiness.com, and click on the Value Builder Assessment. You'll go through probably about 20 minutes of questions. There's about 30 questions there. And once you finish that, I'll hop on a call with you for half an hour. We'll go through it and talk about it. It gives you the things that you need to do to increase that value, whether you use a coach like me or not. At least you have a baseline. And I think that's the value right there, Rose, is we need to have baselines so that we can judge what we need to do and what actions we need to take to create the value and create the value of the in the business so that we can have the life that we want to live. You don't want to go through those 25 years and get to the end and say, really, I thought my business was worth $1 million when it's actually worth 200,000. And you are expecting that 800,000 to be part of your exit strategy because it's going to take some time to build that value. So exit planning is just good business strategy. You don't have to be a year away. You start exit planning. You said it right off the bat.
Absolutely. Yep. It's very important to start where you finish. I think, you know, you start the exit plan as soon as you start your business, and then you'll finish up, you know, with a lot more than what you planned. And it makes and gives peace of mind to those around you who, you know, will be taking over the reins for you someday, or if not, you know, how to sell the business, and they'll be able to sell the business at a reasonable profit.
Absolutely. It's about your legacy, and your business is part of that.
Absolutely. Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks, Rose. Make it a great day.
Bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.